John and Lindsay and their family have been such an important part of our church for so long, and I'm sure that they're in your hearts as they are in our hearts. John comes, as many of you don't know, from a pastor's family, don't you, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. His father is a very well-known... Are you trying to hide from me?
Yeah.
Trying to move. His father is a very well-known pastor. And I don't say that lightly. I say it because every time I run across anybody, practically anywhere, not just this area, that's in the Indian community, if you say, do you know Pastor Stevenson, they always say yes. I don't know if I've ever met anybody and asked them and had them say, no, I don't know him. He's just a very well-known pastor. Is it Des Plaines or what area?
Schiller Park.
Schiller Park, okay. Illinois. So since John grew up in that kind of environment, and I know John has such a heart for the Lord and such a heart for ministry, I've asked him for a number of years if he would ever like to preach. And up until now, he's always politely declined. But about 2 months ago, he came to me one day. He asked to meet with me after church, and I was afraid something was serious was up. John, I get scared when people say, can I meet you in your office after church? It's like, okay, I don't know what's coming, but I get this kind of, the blood pressure goes up. But he said, you know, I'd like to preach. I think I'm ready. I think the Lord's speaking to me. So we set up a date about 2 months ago for it to be October 22nd. I don't know much about what he's going to say. I know a title, but you do too because it's on the front of your bulletin. Other than that, we don't know, but please open your hearts this morning to John and receive what the man of God has to say. Let me pray over you. Can I do that,
yes,
John?
Please. Yeah.
Lord, I think I speak for anybody in this church that knows John and Lindsay, that we love them. We love them deeply, and they are the real deal. And whether they're just sitting in the back or leading worship or interacting in some setting, we always see that he's the same person. They're the same people. They love you with all their hearts. They desire to not be casual towards you, but to always walk as true disciples of Jesus. And we see them raising their boys the same way. We just don't see anything in their lives that shows a double-mindedness or a double standard of trying to look good on the outside while the inside doesn't line up. Lord, we really thank you for these servants that you have brought to our church. We thank you for how they have added to our church in so many ways. And Father, we would pray now for an anointing upon him. Please put his heart and mind at ease, since this is new territory for him. And please help each of us to be open towards whatever you've laid upon his heart to share with this church for this day. Lord, we expect a word from you as he expounds upon the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
John Stevenson.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, I'm really scared. I can't be my dad today. I'm going to be John. And when I was standing back there, it's like, God, I can't preach like my dad. I can't be Pastor George. And yeah, I felt God speaking, and he said, John, I want you to be John, who I made you to be.
Amen.
So this is the giant I'm conquering today, speaking in front of people and speaking God's word in front of people. Because a lot of times in my life, I love to speak to people one-on-one. And God just called me to say, John, you need to speak in front of people. And I said, God, I don't have the ability to speak in front of people. And God said, I use the most incapable people for my glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm the most incapable person. If God can use a donkey, he can use me. So that's why I always tell my wife. And that's the bottom line. You know. And today we're going to dive into the word. If we can open up our word into Numbers chapter 13. And I'm going to start with a video first, but I just want to tell you a brief scenario that happened this week where I had to face a giant. At work, I had a coworker who came back from vacation, and he started yelling at everybody. And God was challenging me because he started pointing fingers, and, you know, my blood pressure went up, you know? Because I don't like when people point fingers, right? And then it's like, you did this, you did that. Because nothing was going right for him. And I didn't say anything to him that day. And God said, this is your test. And I said, okay, God, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to speak tomorrow to him. So the next day I spoke to him, and we'll call him Amos. We'll call him Amos. I won't say his real name. And I sit him down in a room. Hey, I need to talk to you. And I talk to him in love. Say, hey, I'm only talking to you. I'm not going to attack you today or ever. I'm not going to attack you ever, but I want you to know that I want to speak in love to you. What you did out there was devalued people. You devalued who people are when you yell at them, when you don't know the whole picture. And he said, John, no one ever told me this before. I can say, and I told him the team, I can't speak for the team, but I see the team feeling devalued when you talk to them this way. And he started crying in that room and said, John, I'm so sorry. And I said, what's going on? And he started opening up his life. He, you know, and he's a nominal Christian. He wears a cross on his chest. And we started talking. And he said, John, I will never speak that way again. And I said, never say never, but just think before you speak. And that was a giant he had to face in his life because he always jumps on things before he's looked at everything, right? I think we as men, and maybe women, I think you guys are smarter than men most of the time, but men like to jump on things real quick and be actionable and then get things done, right? That's our heart. We don't like to like wait and like let things kind of wither, but we all face giants in our lives that may seem so big to us, but not too big for God, amen? So I'm going to start with a little video, and it's about a lovely lady who's been through a lot of trials in her life, but she sees Christ in everything. So here we go.
I had a lot of trouble when I was young. I mean, lots of kids made fun of me. When I was 7, these kids pushed me over and they called me a cripple and they made fun of me. Every day when I was a kid, somebody asked me, what's wrong with you? Every day, happened every single day. And so you just feel like you're so different from everyone else and you don't fit in. And so I was pretty angry then.
Let's work on it for a few visits and then we can go from there.
Okay. I guess I really didn't think about God that much, but whenever I did, I just felt, I'm mad at you if you do exist, but you probably don't because you wouldn't be that cruel. I remember just saying, okay, God, if you're real, show me. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I should look at the Bible. And I had a Bible that when I was confirmed, which was years before in our church, and didn't really ever open it. I mean, I think it was still in the plastic. So I like unwrapped it and sat on my bed. And I'm like, okay, show me that you're real. You know, I flipped open. I remember reading all kinds of stuff, thinking, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why did all this happen? Like, explain this to me. And I flipped open the Bible to John 9. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, it is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God would be displayed in his life. I just felt like God was talking to me. It was unlike any experience I'd had before. It became completely clear to me. God had a purpose in my life. I just felt like God must be completely against me. I really, really thought I couldn't make it. And there are days that I would just like lay on the floor of my room and just cry and say, God, you've got to get me through this.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There is trouble,
And God knows there's trouble, but God rescues us in the midst of trouble and not necessarily from it. And I found that to be even a deeper promise than you won't have trouble, but I'm going to be with you in it. I felt like God was like, you need to forgive because this is the love that changes the world. And at first I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to forgive. I got polio because the doctor made a mistake. The doctor made a mistake, and that's why Paul died. My ex-husband's affair. You know, there's just a lot of different things I've had to forgive. And I remember people kept saying to me, you don't seem bitter. Why are you not bitter? And it was God. It wasn't like I was making this choice not to be bitter. But at the same time, it was every time something would come up where I would get angry, it was giving it back to God and saying, okay, God, I'm asking you to take this. I think my disability went from being something that made me bitter to something that really drew me to God and made me more dependent on Him. Every time, like through all the different types of suffering, what's really pulled me out or pulled me through is God's walking with me. And that to me has been bigger and worth every second of suffering, which sounds crazy even as I sit here and tell you that, but it has anchored my faith in a way that, you know, I think people, when you read the Bible and you understand truth and you say, this makes sense to me, but then people can argue you out of that. I mean, I've seen people with faith just kind of say, well, it doesn't make sense now and I'm not sure and other people are telling me things. But when you go through the fire and God is right there, like I know He's real. He's there. He's walked with me. I think adversity, if we turn to God in it, it keeps us from walking away because we need Him. We know Him in a different way as not just the giver of good gifts, but the one who walks with us. And I don't think you see that many people who get the sense of God's presence, God walking with them, unless they call out to Him and they need Him.
Having a mom who has pointed me to the Lord even when things are tough, and that's an understatement, I guess really made me the believer that I am today.
The Lord has done this for a purpose. We don't know what it is, but we wait.
I feel like it was God's grace to give me suffering because it has made me deeper and made me love God, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
So I wanted to start that video for us to get our hearts ready to listen to this message, because sometimes we go through things and we think the situation is bigger than God, right? I've lived that life before, and I choose not to live that life anymore because I know that God is with me, right? And He's walking with us. And we read here, there's sometimes a fear of giants, right? That giants are bigger than us, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And, you know, we can doubt God, right, at times and say, where are you, God? And I think it's okay to talk to God and say, God, I'm worried. It's okay to, like, open up your heart to Him. But when we start making choices because we think God won't pull through, we deter the path that God wanted us to go into a different path and takes longer to the path where God wants us to go. Amen? So when we get so fixated on the fear of giants, we lose the life that God wants us to live. Amen? So we read here that there was a good report and there was a bad report, right? So we can dump all the bad things in a garbage bag and let's pass it around. And everybody's holding garbage in their hands. Let's pretend that everybody's holding garbage in their hands. You're going to carry that baggage with you for the rest of your life, unless you let it go and let it God trust in God. So that fear needs to be battled with God, right? And let's go into a different story. So let me just rephrase this. The fear of giants, don't lose sight of God's promise. God has a promise for your life. He doesn't want you to forget that, but yet we do, right? We're human, right? We forget God. Like when we're so busy with our lives, we forget who God is in our lives. And I just said this, but we lose faith. We lose faith in who He is. Now, the second point here, I want to say we need to face the giant. Let's cross out giant. We need to face the situation in our lives. We read a story about David and Goliath, right? And David was a young child, and he wanted to. He knew who God was in his life, but he didn't lose sight of how mighty God was. Amen. And I, lots of times, forget how mighty our God is. I remember when I was first married, and me and my wife were, you know, scraping by with money. And there was a bill that needed to be paid, and we were praying, God, we are trusting in You in the situation. We did everything. I believe I was working a lot at that time as well. I was doing a lot to bring money to the table, and God said, I'm your Jehovah Jireh, right? And then we get a check in the mail from an insurance company. Said, oh, you overpaid this month, so I'm sending you a check. And we got, and I'm not lying on stage, and I'm not lying God, in front of God, but we got the check for the same amount we owed to the other bill, the same exact amount to the penny. And that's God. That's only God. Amen? So we have to understand that our God is mighty, and we can't lose sight of that. A lot of times when we're young, we think we're supermen. We think we can go through life alone and sometimes without our parents' direction. And I've done that 100 times. And I thank God that His grace and mercy on my life is on me. And my parents' prayers that they prayed since I was a little kid went far beyond the generation. My mom died when I was 16 years old, but I believe today her prayers are with me. Amen. It led me through so many dark times in my life. I've done so many dark things in my life, yet God brought it to light, and God cleared it with His blood. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I want to talk about this. Giants and everyday occurrence. We all face giants every day. Don't lose sight of who you are in Christ. Because a lot of times we place identity in our culture, where we're from, right? Maybe in our marriage. Maybe because we have kids, we place our identity in them. But yet, our identity comes from Christ. When you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. I think Pastor spoke that maybe four weeks ago. And that really touched home for me. We're a citizen of heaven, and God wants to work through us, but we have to allow Him to. He's not going to force His way through. So I'm asking you to dig deep in your heart. Are you allowing God to work through you this week? Or how about the past week? Were you allowing God to work through you last week? And let's see how we can work on that day by day. I'm not saying to be perfect, but God wants to work through you. Amen? And if we don't allow Him to, you know, we're probably going to be walking in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, and that's a dangerous thing because we might not even see the promised land. And here's this verse. In 1 Samuel 17, Saul saying, you are not able to go against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from the youth. And a lot of you young people, you know, I remember teaching you in Sunday school, our girl group, we call it here. And I see so much potential in you. And I see so much God can do through you, but you have to allow Him to work in you. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop as a youth. It keeps on going as you get older and older. You don't retirement from knowing God and doing His will. There's no retirement. I don't care how old you are. You're not retired from God's work. And sorry, I'm very blunt and honest, and I apologize about that if I get really blunt and honest. at work, they call me the mafia boss because I'm very blunt and honest. that's my nickname at work. But there's a certain truth to that. We have to be blunt and honest with ourselves. Because unless we can look at the ugly in ourselves, we can't allow God to work. Because that giant is probably the giant that we allow in our life sometimes. You know, at age 17, I became an atheist. I didn't want to believe in Christ because of my mother's death. And I'll tell you, church, it didn't last long. It lasted 3 months. Because yeah. God showed his, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, even if you're not even looking for it, he still is working. And I always tell my coworkers, how was your day? It's like, I always say, my day is great because I got out of bed today. It's a miracle that I got out of bed today. Amen. You know, these fingers, I used to do animation in school. It takes about 4 computers to animate a finger, to render a finger movement. And it takes about 4 hours. Now, that was probably 6 years ago. It's probably faster now because they have faster computers today. But I'm just saying how complex your God is. You know he's mighty. You know he's always with you. And you know that he wants to work through you. And yet we don't want him to work with us. We don't allow him in some parts of our lives. And I bring this to my kids a lot. And sometimes I can be a little tough. I say, hey, guys, I know you're young, but you have to allow God to work through you in every part of your life. In school, when you're at home, when you're at church. You can't just raise your hands in church and praise God. It's at church and go home during our prayer time and say, I'm too tired, Dad. You know? And it can be a little rough, but I want them to understand God wants to use you at every moment, at every time. And are we willing to be his vessel? So the giants in our lives may be addictions, maybe lack of forgiveness, maybe even how we talk to our spouse, right? Or how we deal with people at work. But we need to not refuse God when he wants to work through us. So I just wanted us to understand 3 key points. If you don't learn anything today, I want us to understand 3 key points. Don't lose sight of God's promises. Because God is not a liar, amen? You could take his name to the bank and you'll get payment for each year and going on. It's a return on investment that goes forever. Amen? Don't lose sight of how mighty God is. Amen? And then don't lose sight of who you are in Christ. And that's the heart of my message. Our identity is not in the world. It's in Christ. And we can fight the giants all we want by ourselves, but we'll be defeated. And I'm going to end with the story, if that's okay with you guys. Just one more story. I remember when I was a little kid, I had trouble reading. And that was my biggest giant. I couldn't read. And my parents had to see that, right? Because a lot of us parents don't want to believe our kids can't do anything, right? We don't want to believe that. And in my culture, it's like you have to be smart. not a stereotype. You're either a doctor or engineer, and that's it. You know, that's the kind of 2 professions, or a nurse. You better be PhD level as well. That was a lot of pressure on me, and I had issues in school, and God just said in my heart just right now is that you have to be able to see the ugly. And my mother saw that. My mother said, "Okay, let's take you to Sylvan Learning Center. I'll pay for it. Let's help you with this." She made that investment so I can read today. I know it's not a big deal, maybe in some people's eyes, but it's a big deal to me. She made that step. So there, in order to fight a giant, guys, you have to be prepared. You can't go into battle that's with a fist up and ready to fight, right? I remember getting, don't look at me wrong, but I remember getting in fights when I was younger. And you have to size up your opponent, right? You have to know where his weak spots are. You know how to get away from his punches, right? If you don't, you're going to be clobbered to the ground. So my mother knew that I'd be clobbered to the ground if I didn't know how to read and move forward. And she took that step. She took that step and said, okay, my son can't do this. That's okay, but he will. And she had a faith that I would. She prayed for me every night. And that prayer went a long way. And I'm here today preaching in front of you. And I'm scared out of my life preaching in front of you. But I know God is with me. Amen. And I'm facing my giant today. And I'm defeating it. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to pray, and we have a special announcement from Linda, but I want to pray this prayer for over you guys, if that's okay with you. Is that okay? Amen.
John, before you lead in prayer,
yeah.
Would you ask people to take a minute to think about a big giant in their life?
Yeah, let's do it.
If we can all picture in our own lives what those giants are, I've got giants, you too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's just imagine the giants in our lives that we need to defeat before it gets a hold of us. You know what David did? He cut off Goliath's head so that giant would never reappear again. And sometimes we're too scared to let go of the giants in our lives because we're so used to living with it. So I just ask the church to just think about this right now and let it be absorbed in our heart. And as I pray, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. God, I am just a man, but through you I am mighty because you are a mighty God. God, you have touched the hearts of men by loving us so unconditionally. Past our failures. And though we refused you, you keep on coming and say you love us. Lord, our worship is a battleground every day and day out. Our praise and worship is a battleground. And yet, we see victory every day through you, God. So we pray that you be glorified in this church. I pray that the word I spoke was from your Holy Spirit, God, not from me, God. Because I know that I can't do anything without you, God. So we are so dependent on you, Lord. We're depending on what you want to do in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use us this week, Lord. And we pray that we are the instruments of God that bring people in this church, Lord. We know the Holy Spirit works in people, but help us to be the instruments for you to allow people to grow this church, Lord. We want your name to be glorified, and not Family Life Church, the name of this church, but your name, God. In your name I pray, amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, John. Can we give John a show of our appreciation? Thank you. That was excellent. Very good. As John was talking near the end, my mind went back to a giant that I faced in 7th or 8th grade. I was in junior high school, obviously. And I had trouble with bullies. How many here had trouble with bullies in school? Mark? Okay, anybody else? Okay, number of you. And this guy would always take advantage of gym time. So we'd all be upstairs in gym, and he'd say, I'm going to meet you after school today. And I was just petrified about him meeting me after school that day. And so I got really good. I always fought with my brain, Mark, more than anything else. I got good at knowing, you know, where the exits in the school were, what would be a different exit to take, a different way home, so that I would never meet up with him. This one day, he threatened me, and we left school, and I knew that was going to be the day. So I ran to a nearby store. It was called the White House. It's a little, like a variety store. went in, used the phone, called my big brother, who was 7 years older than me, and I said, Lee, you need to come up and walk me home. So Lee came up and walked me home, and all was well until my dad found out that my brother had rescued me. My dad said, if you do that again, you're going to be more in trouble with me when you get home than you will be with the guy at school. I want you to stand up for yourself. Now, bear in mind, this was a day before kids brought knives and guns to school, and this is a different era today. In that era, it was just different. So I knew I had to face up to this guy. So next gym day, when he said, I'm going to get you after school today, I said, well, let's just do it in the locker room. He said, okay. So, you know, my heart was pounding, but we went at it in the locker room, and everybody came to my defense because I had stood up to the bully. And I never had any more problems with bullies in junior high school or later in high school just because my dad helped me learn to face up to the giants. And in real life, there's so many times when we face giants, I face giants, and I feel like my dad prepared me for marriage, for business transactions, for all kinds of situations, because he taught me to stand up for myself. When Beth and I first moved to Waukegan, we were living in an apartment, I can't remember the name of the street, Linden Avenue, thank you. And when we moved out, we left the place in impeccable condition, washed the windows, everything else, and the landlord refused to give us our deposit back. He was an attorney, too. Well, how are you going to fight against an attorney? And so I thought, I'm not going to take this lying down. I know we left that place perfect. So I wrote a really nice letter, typed it out, and he mailed a really nice check back for my deposit. But, you know, I attribute it to the Lord using my dad to teach me to stand up for myself. And you can do that in a nice way. You don't have to be nasty, but you need to know what's right and stand up for it. And obviously, the application for all of us is we face giants in our lives. They look different. Michael's giant looks different than Reuben's, looks different from Tina. But we all face giants, but our God is mightier than those giants. In fact, the giants look like grasshoppers in the eyes of God.
Amen?
Amen? Okay. Amen. So let's stand firm. Know our God, do exploits in his name, know who we are in Christ, and even help one another as others of our brothers and sisters face giants. You know, sometimes their faith is waning. Maybe we have faith to believe with them and for them, to pray with them, to stand with them. Be there for each other. Don't just kind of hold back and watch to see if they're going to fight a good fight or not. Stand with them.